Now, one of the things that we did, I'm just going to just quickly go through. We started sharing some messages, how to receive the healing power of God. And two of the main things we started with was that without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible. What does that mean? Not possible to please God. And that he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, one of the things we pointed out is that the Bible never sets out to prove that God is. He just says, I am. And then we need to respond. We have to respond. How? In faith. And then he rewards us. So you can see right from Genesis, in the beginning, God. In John verse 1, and chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, in the beginning, what? He said, in the beginning was what? The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we see that God is. So we have to believe that what? He is what? He is healing to us. He is salvation. Not that just he is. No, he is. And so we have to believe that he is what he says he is. And so when we do that and we believe that he is healing to me, then he rewards my response, my faith to him, with what? With healing. So I have to believe that he is, and I have to believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we walked through some scriptures, and we also said that that boldness is the result of knowledge, that boldness is a response to knowledge. So the more you know, the bolder you are in Christ. In other words, Hebrews chapter 4, I think it was verse 16, we were sharing, or 14, 15, and 16, where it said, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace in the time of need. Well, I can't come boldly if I don't know that it's his will for me to come. I've got to have some knowledge that it's okay for me to come. And boldly means coming what? With confidence, with assurance. So if I come boldly, I'm coming in faith because I know it's his will for me to be there and to receive from him, right? And we looked at James chapter 1, anyone lacks knowledge or anybody who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not, right? So we looked at these various scriptures, and then we also touched, last week we were talking about the two ways that the power of God is made present, two ways, and we saw that it's the preaching of the word that causes the power of God to be made present. And we looked at Matthew 14, and we were looking at how the disciples got in the ship, and they were going over to Gennesaret, and Jesus went aside and prayed, and then it said in the night, or fourth watch of the night, he's walking across the water. And so they're as you say, they're upset, they're afraid, or as they say, scared, or whatever you want to call it, right? They're afraid, they're upset, right? I guess if you saw something that looked like a ghost, you might be too. So, you know, what did Jesus always do when he appeared? Or an angel would appear? Fear not, right? Because people just, you know, they get nervous, right? So what happens is Jesus said, what did he say? It is I, be not afraid. And so then what did Peter do? Peter said, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. And when he spoke that word, when he spoke the word, the power was made available to walk on the water. He made the power available to walk on the water. What does Romans say in Romans chapter 1? I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But the power, even though it was made available, it wasn't released until what happened? Peter got down out of the boat. And then the power supported him to walk on the water. So the power is always made available. It's the same thing. When the power, not the power, when the word of God is preached, the power is made available to anyone, where it's salvation, healing, but we have to do what? Reach out and receive it and believe it. We have to accept the preaching of the gospel. When we do, the power of God is released in our lives, which is what happens. What does it say in Romans 10, verse 9? It says that if we confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead, we'll be saved. So the preaching of that makes salvation available, but I've got to do something. I've got to say with my mouth, he is Lord over my life, and that I believe he was raised from the dead. When I do that, it says, you'll be saved. So that means salvation is made available through the preaching of the gospel. Isn't that what Mark 16 says? We were commissioned to go preach the gospel. Those that do what? Believe. The preaching of the gospel. Isn't that what it says? Those that believe shall be what? Shall be saved. And those that don't, won't. So the believing part releases the power of God, or it makes salvation available, but the preaching of it and the receiving of it, once somebody believes or receives, then they are saved. The power is released in their life to save them, right? To deliver them, to make them a new creature in Christ. So I want to look at this evening how the healing power of God is administered. So it's one thing to know it's present. And then if you know, you got to know it's present in order to receive it. But then there are different ways or methods of administration. So we have to be able to be knowledgeable of those different ways. Brother Hagin used to say it when he was alive. There's many ways, not just one way. He would used to say, not just one way to heal. There are other ways that administration can happen. And we need to know that so that we can do what? Cooperate with the healing power of God once it's present, right? And so I want to just go through those quickly with you if you don't mind. I know you don't mind. I'm going to do it anyways. All right, praise the Lord. So one thing to remember, or one thing to point out, is that when where salvation's concerned, there is one way, not many ways to be saved. There's one way. And that one way that's administered, where salvation is administered, is through the confession of our mouth, believing that Jesus is Lord over my life, and that I do what? I believe he's raised from the dead, and when I confess that, the scripture says I'll be saved. In Romans 10:9. So there's one way that salvation is administered to us. Now, there could be many ways that it's delivered. It could be delivered from television, radio, through someone. A variety of ways that it's delivered and preached, but there's only one way that it's received and administered. Does everybody understand this? One way. But there's more than one way that healing is administered to a sick body. Does everybody understand that, where I'm coming from? Okay. So let's go over to Luke chapter 7, and let's look at this briefly. And these methods are not in any order of importance or priority. So I'm just sharing these particular methods. They're not in any particular order of importance. So don't say, oh, no, the first one is the most important one. No, They're not in any order of importance. They're just, these are methods that are used to administer the healing power of God when present. The spoken word. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Starting in verse 1, it says here, we're talking about, this is the story of the centurion, and the same is in Matthew chapter 8. But this is in verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. I'm reading from the King James. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but do what? Say the word, and my servant shall be healed. So this is the first method, and I'll continue here. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, and I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they were sent returning to the house, and they did what? Found the servant whole that had been sick. So what did he say? He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So we can see here that at least in the Gospels, there's no indication that Jesus touched this sick person. There's no indication, as in the New Testament, Paul, where he had the healing power upon him, he laid hands upon handkerchiefs or aprons, and they laid them upon sick bodies. There's no indication of that here. All we see is that the centurion said, just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. So we can see here one method of administering the healing power of God is through what? The spoken word, through speaking the word. Hallelujah. And we would say here also, I would also go as far as saying this. Well, let me continue. Look at Mark, you can jump over to Mark 11, 23, 22 and 23. And Jesus answering saith unto them, he's talking to his disciples, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, so he's talking about us, whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and do what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he saith shall come to pass, that what? He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we can speak here, we can see here this principle, we can speak the healing power of God into someone's sick body in cooperation with, this is important, in cooperation with their faith. So it wasn't just Jesus speaking to this sick person. The centurion came and said, don't come into my house. You just speak the word and he'll be healed. So I think this is a good thing. Sometimes we're just quick to say, I'm going to speak to that sick person and believe they're going to be healed. But it's in cooperation with the person who needs the healing, either them or someone coming on behalf of them. See, like the centurion. Does everybody see this? So you can't just decide, I'm going to speak to someone. Well, maybe they don't believe. See, this has got to be in cooperation with their faith. Then your speaking will have an impact. See, everybody see this? Let's turn to Acts chapter 19. We're referring to this. This is a second method. So the first method was speaking the word. Number two is, this is Acts chapter 19, where we read here about Paul in verse 11 and 12. Again, these are methods that the healing power of God is administered. It's one thing to know it's present, but then there are methods that the healing power is administered. Here's another method that the healing power is administered. We can see in the New Testament, and it said, verse 11, and God wrought special miracles, how? By the hands of Paul, so that from his body, were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, them who the sick ones, and the evil spirits went out of them. So we can see here that Paul was anointed with the healing power of God, and that when something, just like what happened with Jesus, when the woman with the issue of blood heard of Jesus, and she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, well, he was anointed. What? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, what? With the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, what? Doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. So we can see that something that touched Jesus' anointed body, touched his skin, was anointed. And that woman said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. Well, she must have heard that some other people touched him. There had to have been noised abroad that not only did he lay hands on the sick, he healed the sick, but people touched him and were healed. Had to have been. And she came in faith. So in this case here, Paul was anointed, and handkerchiefs and aprons that came from him, either he laid his hands upon them or they took them from him that were on his body and took them to someone who was sick. It said what? That healing power that came from him was infused into that handkerchief or apron. And when it was laid on the sick body, what happened? They were healed and evil spirits were driven out. That's a healing power of God, right? So this is another method. Let's look at number three. You can turn over to Acts chapter 3. It's a familiar story here. Another method is the name of Jesus. All right? These are methods that the healing power of God is administered. Number three, starting in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom what? They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. So that'd be like you going down the city, give me some money. Shaking the cup, give me some money, right? And you say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, right? So that's essentially what they did. They said here, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to get something. This says to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So here he was what? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So he spoke, but he spoke the name of Jesus. Right? And then you can see in verse 16 of that same chapter, it says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. What made him strong? And his name, the name of Jesus, and faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So we can see here, Peter and John administered the healing power of God through the name of Jesus. We can see that here. Amen. And so what was, just think about this, Peter and John were just doing what Jesus commissioned them to do. Before he ascended into heaven, what did he say in Mark 16? He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is Mark 16, 15, and 16, and so forth. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Verse 17, in my name they shall cast out devils. And we could insert here, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. Verse 18, in my name they shall take up serpents. And in my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And what does it say? And in my name shall they lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So it's in his name that healing was administered. This is another method, not the only way. It's one way, right? So what do we have? We have the spoken word. We have the laying on of handkerchiefs anointed by somebody's imparting healing anointing on some handkerchiefs or aprons. We're talking about here this method, the name of Jesus. The name and faith in the name hath made this man whole. Anybody who had been around, I know, you know, there's a lot of things on YouTube, but, you know, just as many times as I'd seen Brother Hagin minister here when he came to this ministry, at least nine times, he might get over and laying hands on the sick and just say, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. He's saying the name of Jesus. So in the name of Jesus can be used to administer the healing power of God. Amen. Number four, this is another method. The anointing oil or anointing with oil and the prayer of faith. This is another method. Right? We're looking at the New Testament here. Let's look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 14 and 15. What does it say? Is any sick among you? Right? Let him just kind of grovel. What does it say? Let him do what? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the what? In the name of the Lord or in the name of Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall do what? Save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. So we can see here another method that someone who's sick calls the elders of the church and they come and anoint him with what? With oil and pray the prayer of faith. So it's not just anointing him with oil. They're praying the prayer of faith. So with who? The person that's sick. This is another method of the healing power of God being administered to a sick body, right? So you can see here that James, he not only tells the church to anoint the sick with oil, but he also does what? He says, and pray the prayer of faith. So both of those. And a prayer of faith is what? It's a prayer that believes it receives something when it prays, right? It's not just you, please pray for me. You know how you get this? Just pray for me. Just pray something. Just anything. Pray something. And I'm like, okay, now if I pray, are you going to believe you receive something when I pray? Because it's not just I'm exercising my faith to believe with you, but you have to believe that when we pray, you got something. You're going to receive something when you prayed, right? What is Mark 11:24? Let's turn there for a minute. Mark 11:24. Jesus, we read Mark 11:22 and 23, but 24, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire." Could that be healing? Sure it could. So what things soever you desire, what? "When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." So we need to believe that we receive what? When we pray. Or you could say, when you're anointed with oil, I believe that the healing power of God, I've received it, and I believe that as I've received the healing power of God, this is a cooperative thing here. This isn't just the person coming, I'm going to come anoint you with oil. What do you believe when we pray? Because it won't work. I'm just to be honest, because it's, I've got to believe, if I'm asking for healing, I've got to believe I received it when I prayed. See, this is a cooperative thing, that if I go over there and stick my finger in that socket, there's power in that socket, right? If I go over there and stick my finger in it, I'm going to feel something. I used to do this. I worked as an electrician when I went through college. And you know, you don't want to do this. Stick your finger in something and ground yourself. You will shake or be dead. But I used to do something like this. I learned something where I would do this and touch something and it'll just tingle on your arm. But you're not grounded. You understand what I mean? So you might, if you want to test something, I'm not advising you to do this. I used to do this, right? It's on me. If I wanted to test and see if something was hot and I didn't have a tool to do it, I would stick my finger in there, and I would, if I got a little jingle, if I got a little jingle or tingle, I knew it was hot. But I'm not grounded. See, this, if I ground here, is going through you from one arm to the other arm. This is just going through the one arm. So please don't do that. I'm not advocating that. I just learned that from some crazy electricians that I worked with. They were still alive, but I'll tell you some stories. They were crazy. If you're working around, I was working around some electricians. Oh my God. Sometimes I wonder. He was merciful. But if you're ever, you know, it's one thing when you're around 120, even 240 volts. But when you're around 480, you don't play around. It'll kill you dead, instant, drop dead, boom, down. You're down. You're done. And this, we were working over in Suffern at this manufacturing plant. We were doing something, and I was sort of a helper, a journeyman. This guy's standing in wet water with his boots, playing around with 480. I said, I'm not even getting near you. Because if you're doing this and I touch you, I'm grounded. And I'm catching hold of you. And I'm telling you, when you get it, you can't even, they've told me stories where they take a baseball bat and try to break somebody off. You can't. You're locked on. And it's no joke to play with. Because once you ground to something, it's, anyways. So the whole point is, you got to have faith. When I connect with something, when I pray, I'm receiving. I'm not, I hope I'm getting something. No, it won't work. It won't work. You've got to be in cooperation with the one that's praying with you. And you've got to believe that when you pray, you receive. What does that word receive mean? To take. So it says, when I believe that I receive, that I take when I pray. That's a good way to think about that. When I pray, I take. Receive means to take. When? When I pray. So when I pray, I'm taking. Not afterwards. And a lot of times people are like, well, did you get something? I didn't feel anything. It doesn't matter whether you felt something. What does it say? If you believe, you receive. If you believe, you take. When you pray, you'll receive. So you receive the healing when you pray. You take it. It's not based on what you feel. It's not based on what's going on in your body. It's not based on whether you feel it or not. It's based on faith. That's what we're talking about here. So healing, when we talk about believing we receive, healing is a done thing. It was provided for by the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was provided. It was made available. And I'm taking it by faith. When I pray, I'm taking it. I take it. It's mine. It was provided for me. It's His will for me to be healed. And it's not based on what I feel. What is faith? Faith, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So my faith is the evidence of something I haven't seen yet. Something that I don't see yet or feel. That's what faith is. Faith says, God promised it, I'm taking it. And I believe it's now working in me. The healing power of God is inside me now, working and driving out of my body sickness and disease. That's faith. Amen. I'm not trying to understand it. We receive it. Hallelujah. Method number six. So, what do we have? Method number one, the spoken word. Method number two, handkerchiefs or aprons that are laid on the sick. Method number three, the name of Jesus. In the name, faith in the name hath made this man whole, right? Method number four, what did we say was? The anointing oil, prayer, faith, right? Number five here, we're saying, method number five is the prayer of faith for yourself, which is the same thing. So in other words, if we're going to anoint someone with oil and the prayer of faith, that's a cooperative thing, right? But you can also pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Same principle works. But you're praying with yourself, or you are the one that are praying in your own privacy. That's another. This is a method. See, don't get stuck on methods. You know, let God lead you as to what method you need to exercise your faith in, right? So this is another method. So the prayer of faith can be used for as an individual or yourself. So. We take the healing power of God, how? When we pray. And it's not based on something that is being manifested, something we feel or experience at that moment. I believe I receive it, and it's working in my body. Method number six. This method, I guess, would be probably the one that's most widely known, I guess, or significant, is the laying on of hands. This is another method. So I'm just going to point this out. You can turn there and look just briefly. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. It talks about the doctrines of the church. And it says in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Of the doctrines of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. So when we're talking about doctrines, this is a doctrine of the church, the laying on of hands. It's a method of what? Administering the healing power of God to a sick body. It could either be yourself or someone else, right? These are methods that Christ instituted, or these were instituted in the church for us to follow, which we can see in Mark 16. He commissioned us to do this. So let's turn over to Mark chapter 8, and let's look at some instances. This is probably the most widely used method by Jesus. But let's look at Mark chapter 8 and verse 22, 23, and 24. And it says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes," wow, he didn't spit on you, see what you think, "and did what? And put his hands upon him." So he spit on him, and then he put his hands on him, right? And the man wasn't upset. He asked him if he saw aught, or did he see anything? Verse 24, "And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking." Verse 25, "And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes." So here's twice Jesus is laying his hands upon this blind man. And then what happened? "And made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." So here's one instance Jesus is laying his hands on a sick person, a blind person. Let's go to Mark 6 and back up a little bit. Mark chapter 6, and look at this account here. Starting in verse 1. And it says, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are what? Wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that what? He laid his hands upon a few what? Sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." So now what's interesting here, just sort of an aside thought here, is that even with this unbelief prevalent amongst them, they received this method. Isn't it interesting? They received this method of him laying his hands upon them, even when there were other methods that Jesus used. He spoke, but see, the centurion said to him, "Just speak the word." They weren't there because of unbelief. They were like, "Who does he think he is? This is the carpenter's son." So there was unbelief prevalent, but isn't it interesting they received this method, right? So it's something to consider when someone is in a particular state. Be prayerful as to the methods that are administered to someone. Find something, because Jesus is all about, he paid for your health. He paid for your healing. He wants you to be well. So when you find people that are hesitant about one method, find something that you can get them to hook up in faith with. See? I mean, it's just a thought, something to consider. because here he was able to administer healing even with all of this unbelief. Even though it was a few sick people, they were willing to allow him to lay hands upon them. They didn't reject it. Okay? Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. It says, "Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands upon every one of them, and he healed them." So we can see here, he laid his hands upon every sick person, and they were healed. All. None missed here. See, they brought all that were sick, they brought to him with diseases. They brought them unto him. And he laid hands on them and healed them. Right? So you can see here, just as a closing point here in Mark 16, Jesus commissioned the church to use use this method of laying on of hands. He commissioned the church to do the same thing he did. What did he say? He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So here's the point, and I know Doug Jones uses this example, and it's a great example. And this is the perfect plant, because this, they call it a peace lily, whatever I think this is here. And a lot of times, if you don't water these plants, what happens? They just lay over. They look dead, right? And if you take a little cup of water, you just take a very little bit of water, and you just pour it in, then it starts the recovery process of causing this plant to recover. And we've seen it here. These plants will just lay over. They'll come in. Sometimes it's just dry or whatever, and they dry out. You put a little water in them, boop, they're up the next day. They're just back. But if you keep pouring water in it, you'll drown it. See? But it's just the recovery process starts the minute you put the water in. So it's the same point. When hands are laid upon the sick, the recovery process begins. It begins the minute hands are laid upon the sick body. The recovery process begins. Not after, not before, but you don't say, "Well, I don't see anything." You don't see the plant recovering. You don't see it recovering. It's still laid over when you put this little 4 or 5 ounces of water in there. You're like, "Well, let me put some more water. Let me put some more." No. The recovery process is started the minute you pour the water in. And it's no different. God's healing power. What did he say? "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Amen. So the instant hands are laid upon you, the recovery process begins. But it's also, always remember, it's cooperative, because if you lay hands upon the sick, they've got to believe that the healing power of God administered to them was received. They've got to believe that it's received and it's working in them. So there is a cooperative effort here. Because a lot of times, Brother Hagin would talk about it, he'd said it won't work. You've got to believe that the healing power of God is present, that I'm going to lay hands upon you. And when I lay hands upon you, he always used to say it this way, my job is done. I've administered the healing power of God. Now what you do with it is your responsibility. So I've now laid hands upon you. I've imparted the healing power of God, and it's in you now. It could lie dormant in you. I use that term. You've got to believe something. You've got to believe hands have been laid upon me. I've received it, and it's now working in me. So there's a part we have to play. This isn't only one side. See, what does the scripture say? It's impossible to please God without faith. He that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is. But you got to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. I've got to believe that he's going to give me something when I come to him. And I have to do what? Receive it by faith. And this is the point that the same thing where 1 John 1 and 9, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of unrighteousness. But a lot of times, the restorative power of God to cleanse me of unrighteousness, of my sins, was made available. And once I receive it, I may still feel, you know, it's like anything else, you still feel like you made the mistake. But now you've got to believe that his power to cleanse you has done exactly what he said, and that I'm free of guilt. Because he said, I've forgiven you. It's no different. See, we walk by these feelings. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. What does that mean? We walk by faith and not what we see, feel, touch, taste. I've got to believe that if God said it, he meant what he said, and he's going to do it. He watches over his word to perform it. Glory to God. Hallelujah.